The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Schadenfreude? Everybody must have screamed, ah! He's a sung hero. A little pushy-pushy. Are you back from listening to Stairway to Heaven twice? Now, those are just words I looked up on the internet.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
Hello. From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and there are certain dominoes that have to fall to get us to basketball season. And a big one fell today, which is college football started. And so I know there's a lot of excitement about football. For me, football has to happen to get us closer to basketball. So we're close. The Not Secret Scrimmage was announced. That's another awesome domino that's in the distance. That's in late October. West Virginia will play George Mason in the charity exhibition game. So not a MAC team. West Virginia is playing an Atlantic 10 team in the exhibition. Plenty of time before we get there. But the fall semester has started, another domino that has to fall. And so essentially, as far as guys on the roster, not guys eligible to play this season, but guys on the roster, what West Virginia has is what it is. My understanding, you gotta be enrolled at WVU to play for the basketball team. So of course there could be another guy or two, a walk-on possibly, or maybe a Jose Perez situation where somebody comes to West Virginia or commits to West Virginia, can get in for the spring semester and then maybe have eligibility where Jose did not. Who's to say that's down the road? But West Virginia has 13 scholarships, and since the last time I was on this microphone, West Virginia added two more guys. So I think we have the 13 scholarship guys on the roster. So let's talk about the 12th guy added to the roster. He hit the portal and committed to WVU in a matter of hours. And this was not a secret. This guy coming to WVU, he had been reported as a target for weeks. Essentially, like, this was not out of left field. And so it totally makes sense. Hey, I'm in the portal. Hey, I'm going to WVU, because the reporting was there that that was a strong possibility. His name is Akook. 6'10", big man from New Hampshire, played his first three seasons with UConn, transferred to Georgetown for one season last year. So he's a fifth-year guy, a grad transfer, and he's essentially the Trey Mitchell replacement. Similar games in that Akook likes to be behind a three-point line in the pick and roll. He likes to pop and shoot the three. Not a great percentage last year, 28% from three. But on the flip side, 6 rebounds a game, 2 blocks a game last year, which is not something that Mitchell is known for. So much so, and Jesse Edwards is on this roster, and we know his block totals benefited from him being in the middle of the Syracuse 2-3 zone. But just numbers-wise, adding a cook and having Edwards on this team, last year, those two guys alone combined for 5 blocks a game last season. Almost 5 blocks. West Virginia, as a team, in the 2022-2023 season, they averaged 3.1 blocks per game. And the roster was way more than two guys. Nobody averaged over 1 block a game. Everybody was under 1 block a game that was on the roster last year. So guys who left, who we think of as being good shot blockers, these guys are shot blockers. Edwards and Akook are shot blockers. And I have concerns of the current roster about how good they are at defense and staying in front of their guy. The fears for myself and Coach Eilert and staff can be subsided by having these two guys on the floor. I mean, that's a big change in statistically what you have on the back line as your last line of defense, and obviously can affect how Coach Eilert decides how to play defense this season. I mean, he said he's learned from Coach Huggins and wants to keep Huggins' principles on defense. But if you've got two guys that average 5 blocks a game, that definitely can change. It makes you think that lots of ball pressure, which is another Huggins staple, but to really be super aggressive with those guys if they're in the game together, being there to erase any mistakes. So Akook is a piece of the puzzle that fits really well for this upcoming season, and I think is a great addition to the Mountaineers roster. The 13th guy who just came in and is enrolled at WVU is Noah Farrakhan, 6'1", 165, guard from New Jersey. He played his freshman season at East Carolina, then spent two seasons at Eastern Michigan. Just up front, without looking, and Farrakhan's numbers are pretty impressive at Eastern Michigan, but he's been playing college basketball for three seasons. His teams in those three seasons have a record of 26-55. And that's concerning because my man Farrakhan has had a high usage rate, especially at Eastern Michigan. So he has his, the ball is in his hands for teams that lose a lot more than they win. How that affects how he comes to West Virginia, it could be, you know, it may not stick. That may not be an issue. But just on paper, I don't like that. I don't like that statistic. As far as Farrakhan's game, he likes the ball in his hands. He likes to get to the basket. He likes to get to the mid-range, especially around the foul line, and pull up. Rough year from three last season, but he had a 40% shooting season from three two seasons ago. Not the best defender. Again, just going by defensive rating. He's 6'1", 165. So coming to the Big 12, that's that could be picked on. He would need a waiver that he probably will not get to participate this season. But that doesn't seem to be an issue for, it must not be an issue for Farrakhan for him to go ahead and make the jump, knowing what the probability is that he gets to play this season. And also, flip side for WVU, they must be very comfortable. A lot of seniors on this roster, a lot of fifth-year guys, including Akook. So maybe if he does not get cleared for this season, then you have somebody to build with for next season. And let's be clear, I'm sure that WVU is going to try to get a waiver for Farrakhan to play this season. What's the harm in asking? If you don't ask, he's not gonna do it. So they're gonna ask. At worst, both sides know that doesn't look good, and you're most likely to get no. And similar to Perez, you get a year to hang out in Morgantown, and hopefully Eilert stays. and hopefully Farrakhan likes his experience and he runs it back with the team in 24-25. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. WVU news and information, go to the website, smokingmusket.com. Follow Smoking Musket on X or Twitter, as it's been known long time, at Smoking Musket. Check out another Smoking Musket podcast. This one's focused on WVU football. It's called West by Pod. You need to check it out wherever you listen to podcasts. Joel and Jordan bring on fellow Smoking Musket contributor Jake Lance to break down WVU's prospects for this upcoming 2023 football season. Check out their other episodes focusing on WVU's opponents. This one, they break down what they think is going to happen with WVU. Great listen. Check it out. Check all the stuff out involving Smoking Musket.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So as I mentioned, the roster is set with these two new additions, but the dust has not fully settled yet. Waivers are on the horizon. Two waiver decisions, so we know who can play this season. And we talked about Noah Farrakhan, but the one looming over everybody's heads, the most important waiver decision, obviously in the last... in the last 6 months, but you could argue the most important decision for the future of WVU basketball long term. Josh, don't be dramatic. I'm not being dramatic. The other waivers for Raekwon Battle. Have you watched Raekwon Battle play? He comes from Montana State. This guy, my expert opinion, I think he'll be the leading scorer this season. If he's eligible and gets to play, this guy gets buckets. He's really, really good at basketball. And so talking about dominoes at the beginning of the podcast, this is a gigantic domino that's going to fall. But the effects of what happens with this domino, I think, are major. Because think about the stakes associated with this season. Josh Eilert, Coach Josh Eilert, has the interim tag as head coach. Hit the assistant coaches, all on one-year deals. DeMar Johnson is in his last year of his contract. And you want to have your best foot forward to make the best impression. But in my opinion, and I'm not the only one I think that has this opinion, just when somebody says, hey, the guy who could be your leading scorer, if he doesn't play, does that have an effect on the season? 1,000,000%. And so if he plays, best foot forward. And you can't, as a coaching staff, say, you know what? There's not that any of these guys would give excuses, but you can't point to it would have went better if a guy who could have led us in scoring was able to play. No excuses, the result's the result. If Battle gets his waiver denied, think about the effects of that. Then you don't put your best foot forward. I'm not saying West Virginia would have a bad season without Battle, but it probably would be lesser than if Battle could play. And if it's lesser enough, then it's one and done. Eilert gets his chance, can't get it done. Baker goes back to the drawing board. Coaching search in the time where coaching searches typically happen, brings in his guy, and Jordan McCabe with a mustache and top three all-time WVU basketball player, Deshaun Butler and Alex Ruoff and all these guys, DeMar Johnson, they scatter to the wind. And you have your third coach in three seasons. You know what that does for the transfer portal. We got a lot of guys who are doing one season, but with another coaching change, most likely you have another gigantic change in roster due to that. So I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but when a guy of that importance, it hinges on a waiver for one season, then it's what it is. It makes it a gigantic decision, a humongous domino, two different paths. And again, the bad path may still be good enough that Eilert stays, but you want to have battle in the mix, especially if you're Eilert. So let's look at WVU's waiver record in the last few tries. Jose Perez comes from Manhattan. They submit a waiver for Perez to play starting in January of last season. NCAA says no thanks, has to sit. Omar Silverio, Jose Perez's teammate on paper at Manhattan, he comes over. West Virginia applies for a waiver. That guy not only gets his waiver denied, but the NCAA says, you're out of eligibility, sir. Good day. So let's call that 0 for 2. And has West Virginia applied for waivers for guys and they get approved? Absolutely. The one that comes to mind for me in recent memory, Gabe Osaboyan got a waiver to come over from Arkansas. Gabe getting things done as a alum, giving out backpacks and school supplies around the state. Awesome stuff that Gabe is doing. So that it's not all doom and gloom. It's just the last two have been really bad. So for Farrakhan, as I mentioned, low probability of him playing this season. Everybody seems good with that. The reporting on Battle is that WVU hasn't submitted the waiver yet. Not that they're waiting on anything. It's just they're dotting every I, crossing every T, given the recent history, being very thorough with the waiver, very cautious with what they're putting in their argument of why Battle should be given a waiver to play this season. Mike Kazaza, his opinion, of which I trust, is that Battle has a good chance of getting his waiver approved. That's not something that we can bank on. That's just what I have, is that on paper, Farrakhan, odds not good, waiver for Battle, pretty good. So I've got my methods as well at determining if these two guys are going to get waivers to play this season. And they're right here. Can you hear that? I've got a pair of dice, and I'm going to roll dice, and this will definitively determine if Raekwon Battle and Noah Farrakhan are going to be able to play this season. So let's start with Farrakhan. He's a long shot. Two dice. I can roll a 2 through a 12 here. Since the Farrakhan odds are more of a long shot, I'm going to roll the dice 3 times for Farrakhan. If I roll a 9 or better in 2 out of the 3 rolls, he's getting the waiver. If I don't roll 9 or higher 2 out of the 3 times, then he's not getting it. So let's do this. Let's see what's happening. First roll, it's a 3. Second roll, come on, is a 6. Don't have to roll the third one. So you've heard it here first. Unreasonable Doubt exclusive. Noah Farrakhan will have to sit this upcoming season. His waiver will be denied per the dice. I'm actually nervous about this in this really dumb activity. Let's get the Raekwon Battle. The dice are calling the shots here. And so We're going to flip the odds here for Battle. If he's got good odds, I'm going to roll the dice three times for Battle. If two of the three rolls are a five or better, he's getting the waiver. If I roll two, three, or four, you know what? Let's do six or higher. Let's just flip the odds. So six or better, two out of three, Battle's getting the waiver. Two, three, four, or five, if I roll that two out of three times, Battle's waiver will be denied for this season. But here we go. Roll number one, an eight. Roll number two, a seven. So I don't have to roll the third time. So back-to-back Unreasonable Doubt exclusives. I am reporting per dice that Raekwon Battle's waiver will be approved and he will be eligible for the upcoming season. So that's a load off, right? Battle's in. You heard it here first. Oh, the dice don't lie. The waiver dice. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Overcast Podcast, Spotify Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, this has been Unreasonable Doubt. I'm Josh Witt. Josh Eiler, in his WVU coaching career as a head coach, he has zero wins and he has zero losses.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.